Before we start today's episode, there's something important for agencies seeking a reliable way to attract new business, especially during busy periods. I want to introduce you to Leadflow Sprint. It's an eight-week program that simplifies your marketing and consistently attracts the attention of potential clients without requiring a massive marketing budget or external sales teams. With my 17 years of experience in aiding agencies to gain visibility and new clients, this program offers a practical and effective approach to lead generation. Forget about unpredictable leads and embrace a method that works across different agency sizes. And if you're keen to learn more, you need to visit caffeine.club/LFS. That's caffeen.club/L for Lima, F for Foxtrot, S for Sierra. Now let's get into today's episode.
If there's one client that you really, really want to land, be really clever, be smart about about the content that goes into those emails. I see that with my sales team. If they're wanting to land a new account and get a product listed, they won't blanket them with the same message. They'll warm them up. They'll get back in touch again. They'll see how they can add value to their business problems. And yeah, it's part of the relationship journey.
You're listening to Caffeine Espresso, a podcast series that delves into the way we grow design businesses. I'm Charlotte Maldari, founder at Caffeine, a new business and marketing company for agency world. And every other week, I'll be interviewing a guest, taking your questions, or delving deep into a topic that clients struggle with, and generally try to make growing your agency feel more achievable and less like a job that keeps getting pushed off the to-do list. It's an excuse for me to pick the brains of some of the people I most admire and address topics that pique my interest, like how not to feel yucky in the sales role, what do clients want from their new agency, and how not to spend half your studio resources each month on new business. This is a podcast that combines the little things and the big things, because as you know, managing an agency is made up of both. Anna, thank you so much for joining us. I first met you, must have been 2011, when you were Badger Ales, and you just appointed Brand Opus to work on the redesign project. And we've kind of kept loosely in contact ever since, as we've gone to different places. Anna was known in the studio as being everybody's favourite client. She is such a lovely person, has a wonderful way of delivering feedback. And so when it came to the topic of what should and shouldn't you say to prospective clients, I thought Anna would put it nicest.
Very kind. Thank you.
Anna, can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now?
I am the portfolio marketing manager for Organics. We make baby and toddler finger foods and snacks. So if you're looking for healthy, tasty treats for your little ones, it's the place to go. And I'm really proud to say that actually when I became a mum, way before I joined Organics, I was actually a really, really loyal Organics mum. They were a bit of a beacon for me in the aisle, in the baby toddler aisle. So yeah, I'm there now, but I'm sadly not looking after brand and comms at the moment. So I don't get many agencies approach. So I am recalling from 2 years ago when that happened a little bit more. But no, it's a really exciting time to be working on baby toddler food.
I've got a organic super fan in our household. My daughter. We went on a road trip to the west coast of America last year, and I had to pack an entire cabin size suitcase full of the infant carrot sticks. Do you know which ones I mean?
I do.
What's it?
Yeah, yeah.
It was the only way we could drive from San Francisco to San Diego.
You are the voice of our consumer. It's absolutely about those moments where you're like, how can I get them here? How can I get through this moment? How can I tie them over to the next mealtime? That's absolutely what we're there to help with, to bring some order to the chaos.
So before we get stuck into the questions, I'd just like to preface it with Anna is no longer working on brand and marketing. So don't get in contact with her following this conversation. I know she's lovely and she's a dream client, but not this time around.
Thank you. Okay.
So on that note, I work with a lot of design agencies who, particularly smaller ones, who
may have got into the industry as a creative person, and then they've decided to set up on their own, and actually they find the sales and business side of things a little bit uncomfortable. And going after new clients is something they're a bit squeamish about, and I have to do a lot of work with them to kind of empower them to be more confident about that. So that's the reason I want to have this conversation with a true client to find out what they actually like. So Anna, without further ado, what's the most eye-catching approach you've had from an agency?
Well, I think I told you about the most frightening approach I had, which was an unusual direct mailer that landed on my desk. A Durex vibrating ring, which is not what you want to open in the office with half your colleagues watching you open your post. I honestly think there's a lot to be said for charming your clients or prospective clients, and not actually, you don't need the shock factor. Actually, old school works really well. I was thinking, reflecting back to some great bits of printed media I've had prospective agencies send, a really beautiful considered brochure, especially with design, really make your work pop, because not everyone will open up that PDF. So if you've got the budget, I think go for it, especially if you're targeting clients where you have relevant information or experience in their industry. I think when you're picking up the phone, again, going back to like old school making contact, be gracious and show a genuine interest. I've had some really great conversations, which have gone somewhere and led to a meeting. Some have actually not got anywhere, but they call back year after year and they'll say, how are you doing? And I will remember the name, I'll remember the agency, and think, you're front of mind if situation ever changes. So when they ask about, how's your year going? Where are you in your brand planning cycle at the moment? What are your business challenges at the moment? Or I've tried one of your products. All of those things really, really land well with a client, and I think well, prospective clients. So just take a bit of time to really think ahead before you pick up that phone. And I think that was one of the key things I really wanted to mention today, is have a really personalized approach if you can.
And be generous. Don't pitch, ask them about what's going on with them. The thing that yes. I really pulled out of that is, what are their business challenges at the moment? Because that person might be feeling quite lonely about the challenge they're currently going through, and maybe a problem shared isn't quite a problem halved in this situation, but sometimes just saying something out loud helps. So you don't know what kind of help that conversation could be having, even if you don't end up working together.
Exactly. And I think one of the things, you've mentioned Brand Opus, one of the things we used to say while I was working at Badger was that the team at Brand Opus were our extended marketing team. There were just three of us in the brand marketing team. So if we had a problem, we would share it with you guys and say, how would you solve this? So think about that when you're talking to a prospective client, that they want people who are partners on the journey. They don't want to see you as just someone they have to pay a bill to.
And when we had a chat before our conversation that we're recording now, you mentioned something which I think is really important. We've just been talking about picking up the phone. I think asking if they have time to take a call right now, or is it a good time, or when would be a good time, is just such a simple but such a crucial thing.
Yeah, it comes back to that bit about charm and a bit of grace. I think it'll get you, it gets you really far.
So on that point, what don't you like? Basically the opposite of everything you just said.
And it might just be me. I don't like to be shocked. I do like the more charming approaches. But that said, there's a lot coming through at the moment, and I've seen in recent years, of constant coffee invites. Everyone's sending me an email saying, do you want to go for a coffee? Have a virtual coffee. I'm thinking, we're all really busy. We're all really time poor now. So to your point about getting to the real questions where you think you could help and add value, use your time well when you're on the phone, or use your space well in print or an email. So that's one of my watch outs. Please don't invite me for another coffee.
She's fully caffeinated, people.
I'm really good. I'm trying to reduce my caffeine intake. Please don't start your email as if we already know each other. I will think that I've missed something, and then I'll get really annoyed that you've caught me out. But I think there's a really fine balance between a warm approach and an overly familiar approach.
Do you, just while we're just riffing on that one, do you find that you're a bit warmer to emails where somebody mentions that you've got a colleague in common or a contact in common? Does that help?
Absolutely. And I think that's something I wanted to come on to later and to talk about building your agency and client network and using it to your full advantage, because recommendation goes a hell of a long way. And it might not just be within your field. Build that agency network outside of your field so you can actually be that partner, be that strategic partner to your clients. And then absolutely, doors will open. Absolutely.
And when is a good time to get in contact with a brand decision maker, in your opinion?
So the financial year for so many companies will differ, but broadly, I think the brand planning cycle follows a fairly kind of calendar year cycle. So you'd say be looking to present to the trade your kind of commercial plan presentations around the summertime. You'd be looking to kind of get your budgets kind of signed off between like September, December, and then you might start the new financial year either in the January, February, or whenever it might be. So I would say you want to start those conversations when, you know, between July, June, July and September would be the kind of time of the year that you're most open to change as a client, because you're looking at setting those budgets and getting those budgets signed off by the business around that time. Mm. And there's usually a bit of a back and forth our side between marketing, putting a budget number in. So, yeah, June to September is a good time to get into that conversation and say, what are your plans for next year? Are you looking for any help this year? Ask if they've got an agency on retainer or not. And if not, when's the contract up?
And actually, just thinking about it, I mean, maybe not this year, but in a regular year, that's often a time when people are on holiday. So that might be another reason to use postal mail instead of just depending on email communications and telephone conversations, because people are going to be on the summer holidays if they've got kids in school, etc. So yeah,
absolutely.
And so kind of on that, do you prefer online or offline contact, or is it kind of a mixture of the two things for you?
I think it's a real mixture. I think it's really lovely if I've had a really great piece of a direct mail, like a printed bit of media, come through, and then I get a follow-up phone call. That's great, because at least it will be front of mind for me then. Equally, if I've received one email, you know, I've got an issue with one agency in the moment. They just keep sending me exactly the same email, exactly the same copy in there. So change it up. So if you've got a bit of a planned approach, if there's one client that you really, really want to land, be really clever, be smart about about the content that goes into those emails. I see that with my sales team. If they're wanting to land a new account and get a product listed, they won't blanket them with the same message. They'll warm them up. They'll get back in touch again. They'll see how they can add value to their business problems. And yeah, it's part of the relationship journey.
Hello. Yes, it's me again. I'm sponsoring my own podcast because, well, I can. And I'm going to take a good guess that you're tuning in because you want to grow your design agency to the next level. So I just wanted to let you know about the Caffeine free 5-day mini course. In this fantastic and, did I mention it, free training, you'll get an email a day for 5 days, jam-packed full of simple strategies that'll give you the courage and confidence to grow your design business. Just go to caffeine.club, that's caffeen.club, and hit get started to get access. Thanks for listening.
So this isn't on the question list, but it's something that's come up for me in the past. And I don't know if it's something that you're familiar with or whether you'd be warm to this, but one of the things that I've done in the past is when written a proposal or done a pitch that hasn't won, then repurposing that content and the thought that's gone into it without breaking any non-disclosure agreements, of course, and then going to competitor companies and saying, hi, we had the opportunity to think about this industry. We've put some thoughts together, then we're not currently working with anybody in this space. Would you like to hear what we've planned through? Is that something where you'd be open to having a conversation with somebody, seeing a Zoom presentation, or perhaps meeting face to face if they've got some real value to bring?
Yes, I absolutely. I think that's the thing about adding value to somebody's day. If you've put that time and consideration into looking at the industry, one thing I always really appreciate is fresh perspective, other people's eyes, because when you're working on a brand, you can become a little bit a little bit too blinkered, a bit myopic, potentially saying, this is my problem, this is my brand's issue, or it's just that competitor that I'm watching. You'll always miss a trend or a wave of a trend coming your way if you're not careful. So yeah, I think it certainly has the opportunity to add value.
And then kind of thinking back to when people approach, who should the agency aim for when they want to introduce themselves? I know this really changes brand to brand, but I often encourage my clients to support, build supportive relationships with the more junior people within the marketing team, instead of always going for the final decision maker, because they might not be the one who's pulling together the list of agencies they're going to approach. Do you have anything to offer around that?
Definitely do your research in advance. Have a look at on LinkedIn at who's in that organization, what the structure is, because as you said, every marketing team will be different. So if you go to the likes of, as I mentioned, when I was at Badger, there were three of us in the brand marketing team. But if you go to a Nestle or a P&G, goodness me, there might be 7, 8, 9 in that marketing team. So I'm working on one brand even. So have a think about, yeah, absolutely, what the kind of scale of the organization is. Who do you think will be most open to that conversation? And you're absolutely right, the most senior person in that team, the decision maker, final decision maker, will probably simply just delete the email. And I'm pretty sure that reception in most businesses won't pass on a phone number. So again, you're going to come up against quite a few barriers there. So yeah, I think it comes back to this added value piece. If you've got some useful content, you've got some little bit of analysis or insight, or even just that warmth to the approach of, I've tried your project, I think it's really great, but this, that, or the other. I think it's, you can definitely keep a start a conversation that doesn't have to end after that phone is hung up. You can come back again 6 months later, a year later, and keep front of mind.
Brilliant. Something I wanted to ask was, we know about the 5 to 7 touch point rule before somebody can recall a brand and is willing to buy it. Do you think this applies to business relationships as well? In this case, agency appointing. I think, personally think sales are really important, but I think it needs to be part of a more holistic approach. And I wondered if you're more receptive to that, or you have any experience you're willing to share?
I think anything you can do to raise your profile and get your agency, your business front of mind with potential clients is an investment. And I'm guessing for where possible, if it's just an investment of your time, that is resource well spent. Obviously, some businesses will be quite cash strapped at the beginning, especially if they're young businesses. So you don't want to be paying where possible for that space. But if it means that you can create a case study and present that at an industry event, and or get onto into some sort of a little bit of editorial coverage in an industry publication. Don't forget, clients aren't spending all their days on LinkedIn or Campaign Magazine or Marketing Week. We're also on Instagram, and if you can build up your network, or Facebook, for example, I think Instagram is a great medium for this industry. Build up your network and become a commentator. One of the commentators I recently spotted is somebody who specializes in research around kids' play. So the business I currently work with, we're a toddler food brand. I'm like, brilliant, okay. So she has an Instagram profile personally, and she talks about her experience in how you can encourage creative play with kids. But she also has a research agency that looks into those and works with a lot of high profile businesses. And I think that's a great example.
That is so interesting. And actually, I just had a conversation about Instagram a couple of days ago, and it keeps coming up again and again. And I'm normally quite discouraging towards agencies about using So actually, this is brilliant, because this is food for thought for me as well. I need to rethink how we're using it. For the different agencies that I work with, because it's a really important point.
I was ready to pick up the phone to them, to her agency, because of her personal Instagram profile, because she lives and breathes her craft. So
and that is actually the outcome of the conversation that I had, was you only really have a role on Instagram as a business within this space if you are really passionate about what you do and have something else of value to add. If you're just going to be somebody who just posts your latest work and isn't doing anything else, isn't commentating, then probably not a place for you. We also discussed how Instagram works best for design agencies when it's the founder that's in charge of it rather than a marketing person, which has been my role in that. It's going to be really sterile content if I talk, because it'll have to be signed off by several people within a big agency. Whereas if you're the founder and you're not too inflammatory in your opinions, then, and you have something to add, then maybe this is the place for you to use.
I think so. And I think allow your marketing team maybe to, if you've got a marketing team, to gold pen you or give you a few pointers in terms of kind of like language we do or don't use or should or shouldn't use, but without cramping on your individuality, obviously. But they're going to absolutely have the passion for the business. They're going to have the vision. So yeah, give them a platform.
Yeah, absolutely. No, really good point. I need to think about that. So thinking back to how you became aware of the agencies you've appointed in the past, what stood out? So focusing on how they came on your radar rather than why you appointed that specific agency is kind of what I'm most interested in.
So a couple of ways that they've popped onto my radar. Awards has been one.
Yeah.
So when we are flicking through the likes of the campaigns or the marketing weeks, what awards have they won? And particularly if it resonates, if it's work that as an individual I admire, I will go through and have a look at that company's website and do a bit of research myself. Thought pieces, coming back to your point about the brand ambassador and being a brand ambassador for your business. If I read a really exciting thought piece that resonates with my brand's values or our way of working and our business culture, I will absolutely reach out to those agencies. We've used in the past Haystack, which again is a really great tool, online tool to search, and I think I've got that right, to search for possibly more kind of media and kind of advertising agencies, but I think design agencies are included on there as well. It's been a while, but certainly as a business with a quite a conservative brand budget, we were trying to find an agency that matched our size and scale. We kind of thought the big guys aren't going to really want to engage with us with this kind of with this budget. So we actually used Haystack to kind of whittle down a shortlist of people who we thought matched us in terms of scale, and then in terms of the creative style we liked and the approach we liked. So found that quite helpful.
Brilliant. Did you go through any of that direct mail or emails you've been sent in the past to relook at your agency options, or was it really down to what you were thinking about at that very moment, as in your external search rather than what was coming to you internally over the months preceding?
I have those direct mails. There are one or two agencies that have who have remained front of mind for me, particularly when I was working in the beer industry, that had the circumstances been different, I think we would have been absolutely opening up conversations with them. Luck would have it that we didn't get to that point, but
yeah.
I do think they did resonate and they did stay with me. But I think the real thing for me is this recommendation piece and building your agency network and having a complementary set of partner agencies that you work with in the creative field, that then they recommend you, you recommend them back. And not only then do you become an asset to your existing clients because you've got this fantastic network, but also you're going to be getting front of mind when those opportunities arrive, when they're saying, crikey, I need a new packaging design agency, or crumbs, I need a new media agency. It's it really, really does work quite effectively.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so crucial. And I think particularly for independent agencies who don't have the benefit of a organized existing network, like some of the bigger advertising media agencies have. It's important to build those networks for yourself, even if they're not formal.
Absolutely.
Are there any particular publications or email newsletters that you subscribe to within the industry? Because for these smaller agencies, it's very difficult to get into the grocer and marketing week, campaign, you know, that kind of caliber of publication within the food and marketing verticals. So they can feel a bit kind of put off from working on sort of pieces or trying to get their news out there. So is there anything else that you're aware of that's a little known, at least for now, way of getting in contact with people?
I'm not sure how little known it is, but certainly Young Foodies is one of the guides, set groups I subscribe to, both via LinkedIn and their email. And whilst they're a little bit more about looking for talent for startups and for young food businesses, I think there's an opportunity again in terms of building that network to be certainly adding value to these quite young businesses who are quite small, quite lean at this point in their lives. Young Foodies is one. And again, when we come back to kind of culture and scale, if you guys are at the start of your journey, these guys are at the start of their journey, it's a great opportunity to start that conversation. Also another one, which again, depending where your businesses are based, there's one called Escape the City, and it's really about
personal favorite.
Really?
Brilliant. I did a couple of Escape the City courses back in the day.
Yeah.
Thinking about changing things up. Yeah.
And I think they're a really, really great platform as well, because I think if you can showcase that you are building talent outside of the kind of the normal constraints, then brilliant. I think it's another way that, again, you can showcase your business in maybe a less than obvious way, but the message will get through.
Brilliant. That's so very helpful. And two publications or platforms that I'm not actually talking about with my clients. So excellent ad there. Anna, you've taught me so much today.
I don't know, but absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much for coming on, and all the best with the role at Organics.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Charlotte.
So here's where we're going to call it quits for today. You've been listening to Caffeine Espresso with me, Charlotte Ellis-Maldori. Join me again in a couple of weeks for more actionable tips on how to make growing your agency feel more achievable and less like a job that keeps getting pushed off the to-do list. If you like what you heard, please do subscribe on Spotify so you can enjoy more episodes out every other Monday. And if you can't wait till then, head to caffeine.club where you can find a growing wealth of free resources and advice to help you grow your design business. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy day to listen in. And until next time, keep at it. Because if there's one thing I know for sure, it's that the world needs more creative problem solvers like you. Just before we wrap up, I want to touch on a crucial opportunity for your agency's growth. As a creative agency, your primary focus should be on delivering exceptional work, not getting bogged down in sales and marketing. And that's where Lead Flow Sprint comes in. It's an 8-week program designed to streamline your lead generation process, bringing in a steady flow of potential clients to you. No more struggling with the ups and downs of trying to gain the attention of new business. Our program includes hands-on support, including direct input on your copywriting, ensuring a bespoke approach to your lead generation needs. No more feeling stuck in the feast or famine cycle. Our real-time support, including direct feedback on tasks like copywriting, helps you to bid farewell to inconsistent leads and embrace a lead generation system that's tailored to your unique needs. Visit caffeine.club/LFS. That's KAFFEN.CLUB/L for Lima, F for Foxtrot, S for Sierra.